This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
Well, we're running early, but we don't care. We don't care why, because we are the network that gets it done in a hurry on a Tuesday. We're bringing it home. I'm making up all these things right now because I can. Hi, everybody. It's the show. It's a Tuesday night in Studio C with Kat Carlson, Doug Wilkie, and Al Perkins. I'm Clayton, so enjoy the ride, if you will. If not, you can always turn us off. Both of you. however you work.
What's that line from Salt and Pepper? Like,
I don't know.
Let's talk about sex. Those that think it's dirty have a choice. Pick up the radio. Pick up the needle, press pause, or turn the radio off.
Oh, look at you.
That feels right.
Look at you spitting some bars.
Yeah.
Look at me trying to be Ari Melber.
Spitting some bars.
I love that song.
Anyhow, I'm going to look for that lyric while you do the entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Entertainment with Al Perkins.
So we'll start with something I think we talked about last week. I just forgot to delete it off my list. But the Tales of the City are coming to the Netflix June 7th.
Right. I don't think we did talk about it.
I don't think so either, but okay. I'm actually looking forward to it.
So I was not paying attention at all.
I have a feeling that they're going to... Because they did the first two books as series. One was on PBS. PBS did it. Showtime did it. And they may have done all of the first three books. There may have been three seasons.
Okay.
But I have a feeling that since they're sticking with so many of the original cast, that they're going to switch to Michael Tolliver Lives, Marianne and Auden, and the times of Anna Madrigal.
Okay.
So I think they're just going to jump those middle three books.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I know, I definitely, for sure, Olympia Dukakis is back, and so is the one that I actually think is Marianne. I never remember her real name because I call her Marianne.
I don't know.
Oscar nominee for The Savages.
Don't know the nicknames
Laura
that you
Linney.
Have for people.
Okay. Laura Linney. She's been playing... Wow. That was like her first role was as Marianne. And so mm-hmm. when I see her in movies, I don't think, oh, Laura Linney. I'm like, oh, Marianne got a job. Like, she a newscaster back east somewhere? Never happened to that daughter. So, I mean, it's that kind of shit. Where with you with the Grey's Anatomy, it's me with the Tales of the City.
I understand. No. Yeah. I'm not judging you.
Yeah, I've actually asked cab drivers to take me to Barbary Lane, and they're like, enough. I mean, they don't get the reference anymore, but back in the 90s when I used to do it, they'd be like, stop. Doesn't exist. So that's June 7th on the Netflixes. And then the Netflixes have pissed me off. We're not going to break up, but I'm very disappointed with that.
By raising their price by $3?
Oh, I didn't care about that. They canceled Santa Clarita Diet.
Yes, they did.
Very upsetting after a very clever season 3. And it turns out that the guy that I like so much on it that I met at the Donna Summer concert was from Better Off Ted, and the guy that writes Santa Clarita Diet is the creator and writer of Better Off Ted.
Mm.
So that's why that sense of that humor appealed to me so much was turns out I like his style. When he writes something, I'll go along.
All right.
So that was very sad. Oh, the Wheel of the Week.
Not connected.
And then, not connected.
I didn't realize we were keeping notifications on just all the show.
I always keep my thing, because sometimes if I don't drink and they need me at work, I'll go in and finish a shift.
Sure.
On the Netflix, but it's really from NBC, I think, is Good Girls. Have you seen Good Girls?
No.
So I have, and they have pissed me off in the second season because it's currently running now.
Oh, and I'm not caught up with the first season.
They came up, and it's not really a spoiler. They came up to an episode where she was being like just kind of a badass bitch, just like taking control and just, you know, wonderful.
The one from Mad Men.
Her? Right, yeah. Christina Hendricks.
Yeah, Christina Hendricks.
Anyway, so they're like setting her up to be just a boss bitch. And then they do this thing that I just kind of hated where she, I don't know what in the hell she was thinking, but she takes the left turn and she like just fucks the dude because I don't know why. And I was like, and I haven't watched it since. I'm like, fuck you.
Oh. Yeah. See, and my thing
was. The whole thing, super clever. It's super fun.
Yeah. Very dark. Very dark.
Very dark, but very, and I always find myself weirdly like drawn to those, you know, like average people driven to do bad things by desperation,
mm-hmm.
And a little bit of cleverness and hilarity ensues. It's very Weeds.
Bad blood.
It is.
It's a little bit Breaking Bad almost.
Totally Breaking Bad. Yeah.
I was looking for Jenji Cohen's name on there. It felt very Weeds to
mm-hmm.
me. My only issue with it, and it's not really an issue, it's just, like, can they just like crime? Like, do we have to make them sympathetic? Like, mm-hmm. can they just be three women who decide crime works faster, easier, better.
No, yeah. I think the motivation for it.
But I just feel like we had to beat them down so many times. Like,
but I also feel like so many people are beat down so many times. Yeah. Like, I think that they're more relatable.
Probably.
Even than what's her bitch from Weeds. Like, I didn't find her especially relatable.
Oh, no, she was awful.
Right. She was just awful,
never had a job. Right. Like, she was not trying.
And I think that this one has all of the same elements as Weeds did, but with really relatable characters. Yeah. Like, you totally get why they've just decided, okay, fuck it, we're doing this.
Yeah.
All right. I'm either going to jail or I'm homeless or, you know, anything.
So maybe, like, I just want to see another TV show not based on this one where it's just three women just decide, you know, crime's fun.
Crime.
Let's just rob shit. On that note,
hey girl,
a show
do
that
crimes?
No one else watches called Claws on TNT. With Niecy Nash. I love her. And she's the only reason why I tuned in. I was like, I don't know. They pitched it to HBO. They turned it down. But it's similar. She owns a nail salon in Florida, but Niecy Nash does. But the inner workings of the story is that there's a mob like family, and they're controlling in this Florida market some drug sales, and so they get pulled into this criminal element. But it is kind of that going on where they're kind of like. And it's also the girl in this salon.
Yeah.
Where it is kind of like, well, they're walking the line of integrity, and then at some point they're kind of like, they're laundering money and whatever.
Yeah,
and they're like,
they're
like, this is working.
Yeah.
So,
but everybody's nails are good, right?
Oh, my God.
All the mobster people.
Oh, my God. And seriously, that whole show is like the whole nails thing.
Well, that was the one thing in The Walking Dead was when they would show the zombies. They would forget to do something with their hands. Like the first two or three seasons, they had beautifully manicured hands.
Yeah.
And then somebody was like, you need to look at the makeup one more time.
Well,
So anyway, but Good Girls, it's very, it's very entertaining.
It's entertaining.
And they're doing that thing it's nitpicky. I know it makes no difference, but the age thing always don't make me start wondering how old you are in a TV show. Like, don't say you're someone's mother when I know you're 5 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't pull that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put Clint Eastwood's got a daughter that's 30 and no one's going to talk about, well, where's the wife that he married when he was 60 years old? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, there's got to be a conversation about why mom married grandpa. You know what I mean? Like,
no, but the Mae Whitman backstory is like,
yeah, but he's not playing rich people in the movies. It's just like,
no, but that backstory is easy. She's like knocked up high school mom who now has a teenager. Like, she's barely 30 if she's...
Right. But Christina Hendricks is 44 years old. So all these stories about growing up together. One of you was done with high school when the other one went to first grade.
Right. I thought you were questioning Mae Whitman, the teenage mom. No, that 100% absolutely makes sense.
Absolutely.
Oh, but putting her as...
Yeah, and then the other ones that have been married for 20 years
they're
in this
not
relationship, but their oldest kid is like 12.
Right.
Like... So you didn't realize you didn't like each other like 8 years in?
We're bad at math.
Yeah, but the whole thing...
Or we're good at birth control.
They did it on Designing Women all the time with Julia Sugarbaker and the sister that I'm right. Like, these two are not like... If I was Delta Burke, I'd be like, listen, bitch, I am not her age. Like, we are they're like 20 years apart.
Right.
Like, that was a big, huge age discrepancy. And all of a sudden, they'd be sitting on Grandpa's knee at the same time. I'm like, one of you is creepy in that story. Like... One of you should not be on Grandpa's knee at that
age. Yeah, I didn't catch the bad math at that.
Yeah, that was shocking. I'll Google that and find out how far apart that was. So that was my thing. So, I mean, on that topic.
Right.
Game of Thrones, forced to watch it again, went to a place with no HBO, so of course, tears.
Stop going those places.
But I watched it on my iPad, and I had to hide somewhere dark because daylight savings time makes it so light outside that you can't control... Like, I thought I was going to have to, like, lock myself into a bathroom and, like, close the...
Under the blankets.
But I watched it, and there was lots of complaints. I thought it was just me, but it really was a topic of conversation throughout the world.
The internet was a buzz.
Was a buzz about it. And now that I watched it at home, really well lit, I thought, for a battle that took place during a blizzard at night. Like,
oh, yeah. I thought that all of the...
these few qualifiers...
Right. It was supposed to be dark and confusing, because if you can imagine what it would be like when there's no ambient urban light,
right?
And how dark it is. Like, if you've ever gone camping or to Idaho, and you've seen like how dark it actually gets.
No, seriously, no, totally. It's like pitch black.
Yeah, this is nighttime.
Right, nighttime is really dark, so you can imagine just how confusing a nighttime battle would be with like maybe, you know, fire over here and maybe a little bit of stars, but it seemed to be they were, you know, portraying a very, very dark night. Like,
yeah.
I thought there was a lot of light considering the circumstances that they were supposed to be fighting under and how confusing that would be.
Sure.
So let's go to our interview with the cinematographer and see what he has to say.
What does the cinematographer say, Al?
He says, let's see if he says the same
thing. Did he say you're welcome?
He says, well, if you cannot see what's going on, that might be you. A lot of the problem is a lot of people don't know how to tune their TVs properly. A lot of people also, unfortunately, watch it on small iPads, which in no way can do justice to it's the largest battle scene ever filmed for movies or television.
Yeah. Longer than Helm's Deep.
Yeah.
Which was the record holder from the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I mean, that...
That was a 40-minute monstrosity.
55-night shoot, the most expensive episode of television ever filmed.
That was
Go bigger than your iPad to watch this. The Cobalt seems to be showing it on Sunday nights.
We're showing it on the entire wall, and I am super uncomfortable with the amount of violence mixed with the alcohol in a public place, so I don't go there for that. But
oh, that's right. You don't work Sundays.
I don't work Sundays. No.
It also happens with Drag Race, so there.
That is also amount of violence mixed with
alcohol.
Yeah, Cobalt's showing it on the giant wall, but unfortunately, we're having kind of the same issues with the sun still being up at 7 o'clock when it starts, so our projectors aren't even quite as wonderful till later on in the show.
Are the black drapes ordered to block out all the light?
It's not my department. I watched it on my glorious 60-inch television in my own home.
It's above your pay grade. Gotcha.
Not in my department.
Check mark on that list.
This cinematographer also did Hard Home and Battle of the Bastards, the two other large battles that they showed. Wanted a distinctive look. Another look would have been wrong. Everything we wanted people to see is there.
Yep.
Game of Thrones has always been a very dark and a very cinematic show. We tried to give the viewers and fans a cool episode to watch. I know it wasn't too dark because I shot it. Another issue noted by... I like a little bitchiness.
I know it's good because I made it.
Yeah. Another issue noted by tech-savvy TV fans is compression of the video streamed by HBO or cable, satellite, or internet provider, something that can vary considerably depending on your source. Basically, you get a much less murky image with a higher quality stream. So that really could have had a lot to do with why it was so dark on the iPad on someone else's.
Oh, sure.
Someone else's stream.
Pay for better internet, dum-dums.
Right. No, right. Where at home. I mean, that really, like, there was no part of it that I didn't know who someone was.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So that's what I did before I came over. And the other thing I want to say about this episode to you, probably the most beautiful score I have heard in ages. Yeah. There is a music cue when they're hiding behind the crypt and Tyrion, is that his name?
Yeah.
Kisses Sansa's hand.
That was such a sweet moment for them too.
I actually kind of screamed out loud a little bit thinking they were about to commit suicide. That music cue was so cinematic and it was so...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very John Woo, if you know who that director is. Very like a little operatic, like here's our signature for this scene. Oh, and the buildup of that piano, which is only the second time that I think they've used piano. The other one was when they blew up the temple.
Okay. So I obviously don't nerd out about movies and cinematography as much, but I know like how movies should feel, and this was so well done.
Yeah, it was just like beautifully, so well done. Beautifully done.
Spoilers ahead. The silence at the beginning would have been absolutely perfect if not for my dear lovely wife
who
couldn't shut up.
Like, I'm just trying to
kept just commenting.
Kept, yeah, yeah. Kept adding top narrative.
You're not the narrator here.
Let's
shut
just
up.
Have this experience.
It's supposed to be quiet. They did this on purpose because you're supposed to be anticipating
dramatic.
The war. It's going to be awful here in about 3 minutes. Shut the fuck up.
If they wanted somebody
to say something, and then, they put it in
there. And
then
this part, and you're like,
oh, yeah. He's going to die. Shut the fuck up.
I will tell you that very thing.
I said none of those things, by the way.
That is the very reason I really do enjoy watching TV alone.
Yeah.
Because
I know.
I don't have to deal with that kind of stuff.
And usually I don't care. Like, usually I'm not super invested in whatever we're watching. And, Sharon's one of those people that just, I think, has to talk sometimes.
If the thought comes in her head.
Well, no, some people are really uncomfortable with shared silence.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
it. I'm super fine sitting next to you, real, real quiet, doing my own thing.
The sounds of silence.
Yeah.
That's a great song, too.
Yeah. Well, no, but I meant the sound of silence in the show is what I was
meaning. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, some people are really uncomfortable by shared silence.
Yeah.
And
I like it. Especially that when it was just breathing and walking, it was all right. Like very so ambient. Good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so like suspenseful, which is what it was supposed to be. And the whole thing was so very stressful and moved at exactly the right pace. Like it wasn't too fast, like, oh my God, I don't know
what's happening.
And
the thing with the lights going out was...
Oh, when all the... Yeah.
Whoever wrote that, just genius. That was just genius.
Chilling.
That's how you know that everyone died, was the lights went out.
Sure, because that's how it would look.
All their torches were extinguished, and that's all you could see from a distance was the torches. And you're like, oh, that did not end well for them.
But all that
didn't need to see a minute of battle to know whatever just happened.
Whatever just happened, happened badly.
I like that they did the actual, like you were saying, how dark or the lights going, like, so like real.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you remember, I think it was Roger Ebert or somebody, one of the film's critics hates in the Sword and Sandal movies, you know, the big, you know, what was the Brad Pitt one when he was Hercules or something. And he's speaking to the troops, you know, and he's yelling out to like 5,000 troops, and they're like, there were no microphones back then.
Right.
Yeah. They wouldn't have been able to hear him past the 30th person.
Yes.
Right.
Like, just how unrealistic.
And they're all like, all the sand
and they're
wind.
All, and they can all hear him. Right. And, yeah. No,
over the crash
not,
of the ocean.
Right.
It's going to be, and he told two friends. Right.
So it sounds like Game of Thrones did it.
Yeah, and there's one part during the battle where people are screaming that no one hears them. It was really, really well done. It was a very, very tense episode walking to find somewhere darker in someone's house to watch this. And the good thing about watching it with other people is I can tell them my guesses about what's going to happen next because I can't stop myself.
Right.
Here's what I think is going to happen now.
Sharon.
But, yeah.
Right? Al Perkins.
No, but not during the quiet part. Like me when that music cue started.
Maybe you could watch it with her.
Yeah.
I have a TV viewing buddy for you.
Yeah. But mine was when that music cue started and they had that look with each other and she pulled out the dagger and I was like, she's going to kill herself. You know what I mean?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. See, I thought, because I think very differently about a lot of these characters, I thought she was going to get up and start fucking some people up.
Different music cue, I would have thought that too, but that music cue was so like, and now the end is near.
And it was.
It was I watched in like without really like watching it. Like I went to bed that night and put in my headphones and just listened to from that second the music cues right to the end. Like how it just keeps changing for the walk across the field to Bran. And then when the whisper of wind comes by the guy's hair, and like there's a music cue there, and I was like, this is just beautifully scored. Like, I was like, oh my God. I just want to like dive deep into every time they got another, and like whoever was there watching along, you know, they conduct watching the
while
screen.
While they're watching it, yeah.
And there's got to be times you're like, oh, this is terrific. Like, you know, whoever was sitting there in the orchestra doing Chariots of Fire was like, well, that's just moving.
They hit the big time.
There's got to be a moment, like whoever is doing like, dun-da-da, you know, the Raiders of the Lost Ark. You have to be sitting there watching the movie going, well, this is really good what he wrote. Because they are watching
not
the
cat
screen
food,
to get
not moving. The music for the cat food jingle.
Yeah, exactly.
Key change, go!
Let me see if there's anything else. I don't think there is.
Excuse me. One thing that I've not watched it. I almost feel like I could at least watch just this fight sequence and get a lot out of it. But one of the things that story says that I think is accurate is people don't realize in the modern day of television, there's like seven different ways you can program a TV. There's Vivid, there's Standard, there's Sports, there's Movie.
Right.
There's all these different settings. So they're right. If you don't have it set properly, those nuanced, darker scenes of anything, you're just going to miss what it is.
Yeah.
To me, it almost, I would equate it in a way to what you're talking about when you do letterbox. Like, if they're not letterboxing it and you miss all the peripheral shit that's going on, you may not get the whole scene meaning. So, the dimmer scenes of nighttime shots, whether maybe there's a sign or a car or a person in the background that you really don't see, because you've got your TV in your bedroom set so dim because you don't want it to be bright whatever. But no, that's a good point. People need to pay attention to how they adjust their TV to view things.
And my friend Patrick, when we were talking about Ozark, he watched the first season of Ozark, the new season was coming, and he's like, oh my God, if you thought the first season was dark. And I was like, I didn't really think it was all that dark of a, like, dark, like lighting
visually
dark. Well, then I watched it when we were at that, in New Mexico, on that big giant projector screen in that person's basement. That's where I watched the first couple episodes. I'm like, there's just eyes on this screen. And then I went home and watched it on my TV, and I'm like, oh, it really is the source, because that big projector has so much like light behind it, and it's blowing it up to such a gigantic size.
You lose so much.
You lose all the clarity in the picture, and that really was a radio program. Like, by the second episode, I'm like, I can't even watch this. Every time they do, and, you know, they're criminals. They're always laundering money at night.
Sure.
I don't know why you can't wash money in the daytime.
Because you don't want to bleach it.
Yeah. So the Tony nominations came out, so we'll just do a couple of couple of highlights, see what happened. Best musical, Ain't Too Proud, The Times of the Temptations, Beetlejuice, Hadestown. That's the one about hell, right? Going to hell.
Yes, and I'm not super familiar with Hadestown yet.
I'm not either.
It's the on
prom,
my list.
The low-budget one about the gay, right? The gay couple that wants to go to the prom and all the celebrities come to town to help them.
Yeah.
And then
Which seems loosely based on a true story. Like, I'm not really well read on that, but I'm
that would be the best true story ever.
I remember hearing about
something
this
similar.
Prom. Like, I'm pretty sure the prom thing happened several times in a lot of small towns. And,
yeah,
and like either inspired game. It or maybe even there was, you know, socialites from New York coming. It's not even famous people, I don't think, in the plot that really come. It's just a bunch of
and in the show it's
Broadway people.
Broadway. Yeah, that's no, and I think that's what it is. And I think they make fun of them just being Broadway stars and nobody really knowing who they are. Best revival of a play, Arthur Miller's All My Sons, The Boys in the Band, Burn This, Torch Song, which was Torch Song Trilogy originally, and The Waverly Gallery. Only two for revival, Kiss Me Kate and Rodgers and Hammerstein's New Oklahoma. If you're in any way interested, the reimagining of Oklahoma, find some clips. They're all online, and find out what they did to A Tale as Old as Time. And there are some interesting musical choices there. That is some really interesting music in a show that no one should ever have to sit through. That show is long and it's about corn. Best book of a musical, Ain't Too Proud, Beetlejuice, Hadestown, The Prom, Tootsie. So best original score, Be More Chill, and I think Be More Chill is the one that flopped, got really big on the cast recording and online, and then it came back to Broadway based on the internet sensation that it became.
Right. Children on Twitter grabbed a hold of this thing, identified with it, lost
Twitter
their damn minds over it.
Blows everything up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And brought this one. So it didn't get nominated for Best Musical, and I'm not sure. Well, it could have, Best Original Score. So it could have been up, but just a weird story.
It's kind of a cool story. the way that it mm-hmm. kind of, I don't want to say went viral, but did. You know what I mean? Because all of a sudden, all these teenagers are talking about it. You know what I mean? All these high school kids are just like trading memes and bullshit for Be More Chill and... honest to God, like they're losing their damn minds.
And
they
did it enough that while it was like getting... people were trying to mount it in high schools because there was such an interest, they were bringing it back to Broadway. So they'd already like sold the rights to school and it's going to Broadway. Or on Broadway.
Yeah.
So Adam Driver for Burn This gets nominated for an actor in a leading role. So now he has Oscar,
did Carrie Russell
Emmy.
Get in? I love her. Can that woman just please get an award for something?
Right, like a real one?
God.
No, she did not. I heard that's a tough category, though. But Adam Driver now is Tony, Emmy, and Oscar nominated.
Wow.
For the little 30-something-year-old from Juilliard that could.
That's look amazing. At him
go. Bryan Cranston for Network, Jeff Daniels.
Bless you.
To Kill a Mockingbird, which is a new imagining of To Kill a Mockingbird that they're shitting all over high schools that are doing productions of the old version of
To
Kill a
Mockingbird. Well, because isn't it Aaron Sorkin that came in and shit all over To Kill a Mockingbird, and now they're not letting schools do the old version? Because he needs everyone to see and pay for his version?
Oh, my God.
Fuck Aaron Sorkin.
Talk about really bad.
That's wrong for so many reasons.
Just shitty.
Oh, my God.
Performance
and we love
actress.
The West Wing so much.
I know.
Exactly.
I know.
And Social Network. I mean, it started how much I love that movie. And that stupid I've Got a Stutter movie fucking wins. Okay, so best performance by an actress in a leading role, Annette Bening for All My Sons. Elaine May came back for the Waverly Gallery. Laurie Metcalf for her Hillary and Clinton, which I just read reviews of on the plane today. And it's Conversations in 1996? Mm-hmm. Or no, 2008. It's based on Conversations with Hillary and Bill in 2008. And they said it's just no one's trying to do an imitation of either one.
Right.
They're just playing these characters that you know a little bit more about their future than they do.
Okay.
And it's interesting. And then this Heidi Schreck, What the Constitution Means to Me, this thing that she's been writing and performing all over the country for years. She's been doing it since high school. That's another interesting one that I read the review of today. So
it fascinates me, people that can do like acting over and over and over and over and over again.
And
like,
just keep it, but it's not really acting. Just, she's telling stories of the Constitution. It's kind of like a...
But just do anything over and over again. And
yeah.
Right.
Bore people to death.
What was the Lily Tomlin one? The Search for Intelligent Life... Search for Intelligent Life in the
Same
Universe.
Same song. Same
exactly.
Jokes.
7 years.
That's right.
Look at this.
No one's been
still
bored.
Here. 7 Tony Award nomination runs.
Did we get nominated for a Tony?
No, just some guy named Tony likes us.
Right.
That's it. Santino Fontana, who you may remember from the first couple years of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
He was also in the most recent Broadway revival of Cinderella. He played Prince Charming.
He was the bad prince in Frozen.
He was.
And he actually he's the only guy that really has a song besides whatever the Do You Want to Build a Snowman. So anyways, I've been seeing these ads for Tootsie because the marketing blitz for Tootsie is just out of fucking control.
No, it's good.
And I keep thinking, I recognize this guy, but he's always in the Tootsie makeup, and I can't make the leap. I can't switch it over, and I just never bothered to look it up. And then finally, I read the review, and they said who he was, and I'm like, God damn it, that's Greg from the first two seasons. So now I really want to go see Tootsie. And it's getting great reviews. Actress in a leading role, Stephanie J. Block, is Cher.
I love her, by the way.
Beth Lavelle, who gave us As We Stumble Along from The Drowsy Chaperone for The Prom, and Kelly O'Hara for Kiss Me, Kate. I think she finally has her Tony, and we no longer have to keep worrying about her. I think they finally gave her one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else exciting in here.
Oh, he did a small stint in Hello, Dolly, too. He played Cornelius Hackle. Santino Fontana.
Oh, I would have.
I just looked him up.
I would have gone to see that.
Sure.
Did somebody say you couldn't?
Well, you can't anymore. I just did. You can't.
So, and now I got to find out which play it was. So the one play, best revival, best play, best play, best play. Anyways, one of them got like the most Tony Award nominations ever, and it's not for a musical. It's actually for a play, which makes it even more unheard of because you don't have all those like choreography and stuff like that. I guess they don't even have it on here. Which one it was. But anyways, so, or maybe it was Hadestown
earned the most with 14.
14, so it was a musical. My bad. So that was
That'd
it.
Be really
some
hard for a play
stuff.
To get.
Yeah, because they're missing some categories.
Because all those music categories.
So I read that wrong.
The choreography
but, I mean,
and...
That guy from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, so cute, and he's been recast. So for the last season, he is not playing Greg.
I know.
But it's all right.
Yeah, I gave up on that.
Oh,
for a
and
while.
Then we didn't talk about it last week. Oh my God, Broad City ended.
Yes.
And what a sweet ending to
really?
A really, yes. really vulgar
it was
show.
So good.
Really vulgar.
I know.
It's another small dosage show. Like I keep getting like headfirst into these shows, and then I'm like, wait, I need a break.
Yeah. And you do need a break.
I didn't
break.
Know that Amy Poehler produced it.
Yeah, that's how they got on
I
the
did
air.
Not.
She did a lot
but I thought
of
the end was really
for
good.
Them. Yeah.
It was well done.
Well done. Very sweet. Very goodbye, New York.
Sure.
It was very nicely done in a very sweet ending for a show that reached levels
sometimes
of
very uncomfortable. Sometimes.
Oh yeah, that vile is a great word.
I don't think it's on your wheel, which I inadvertently
we can
just
change
thought.
That.
Well,
sure.
No, I know you can, but I was just going to piggyback this
that.
One with because it's entertainment and the two people involved in the three people that are involved in the story. I just was curious if anybody else had seen your thoughts on. The Jimmy Fallon, Paul Rudd, shot-for-shot remake
and it is shot for
of
shot.
The
I
Dead or
it.
Alive, You Spin Me Around Like a Record video.
Down
and
to
then
the eye roll.
The animatronic, is that her name? Animatronic, who is from the Scissor Sisters, loses her fucking mind.
Oh, I saw that.
Is all, she's called them out criticizing the parody as homophobic. She says, quote, I'll tell you exactly why Jimmy and Paul Rudd's remake of You Spin Me Around is not hilarious and is not what we need right now. What's funny about this question, she asked, what's funny about it? But they did it, and it's a brilliant They did an amazing remake of the entire video.
How is it homophobic if it's a shot by shot remake?
Right. I don't know how
she needs to shut up.
And again, I haven't read her, but it's been all over the interwebs.
Of course.
She's saying, but my thought is,
because they're straight.
It would be different to me had Jimmy Fallon or Paul Rudd had a history of making homophobic remarks or making fun of, but there is there's none at all. Paul Rudd dressed as Pete Burns doing the video is have you seen it?
Al, have you seen it?
Not all the way through.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
I watched the entire thing and I'm like, they literally like the ribbons and the transitions and the fan blowing hair and everything. It was fantastic. And it's a great video from the beginning in the 80s because,
I remember in 1982 or 3, whenever that song came out, they were supposed to be straight.
Yeah.
That's not supposed to be anything gay about it.
Maybe someone could tell her that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pete Burns is all his androgyny.
As far as we're all concerned, that was a music video made by a heterosexual singer and his heterosexual band.
With his original face.
Right.
And then, it obviously, Pete Burns.
That
and
went to shit.
But it's a very interesting thing, but I just thought it was, if anybody had heard of that, her calling out and being like, it's...
I haven't, but it doesn't surprise me.
What she said was, she claims that Paul Rudd is being homophobic because he later said in an interview with Jimmy Fallon that he was too embarrassed to meet the Wu-Tang Clan because of the way he was dressed as Burns. Mm. And then she goes on to say that that man, that glorious, witty, glamorous, beautiful, talented, and brave force of nature, was a real human being, and that's how he looked on and off stage. And he suffered because of his uniqueness. She needs to chill out.
She needs to calm the fuck down.
That's like saying if I was going to play Marie Antoinette later and then I was going to meet somebody important and be like, can I take off the costume
thing? Also, people are allowed to be embarrassed for any fucking reason they want to be.
Yeah.
Right. You feel how you feel. And if you're dressed up as some cheesy 80s music video bullshit,
thank you
please
for the
be embarrassed. I could give a shit about that song before. I could give a shit about that song now.
This is this politically correct liberal crap.
And again, I don't know why it was made, why they did it. I'm going to assume that the two of them have an affinity for that era of music.
Because they've got a great sense of humor.
Jimmy Fallon definitely does. He definitely loves that genre.
And maybe at one point Paul Rudd was like, you know, when I was younger, I just thought the guy was cool. I don't know what it was.
Well, I felt it was a tribute. They weren't making any fun of anybody. It was a total tribute to that.
Because they're dead on.
To one of the most famous songs in music history.
Yeah.
And the biggest song, I think, of the 1980s or whatever was the most played song.
I'm pretty sure
it's in some Guinness Book of World Records for something.
By the end of its run, it was driving me crazy. It's the song by them.
I never want to hear that song again. Yeah. Yeah. But it's an epic contribution to music.
But I fully believe it was the most popular song.
Yeah.
But I actually bought, based on that, because that was my initial knowing of them, because you had Pete Burns, you had Boy George, you had Marilyn back in the day, all those people. I actually bought two or three subsequent albums of Dead or Alive that I still listen to today.
Oh, they're fantastic.
I just like the sound and it's all good.
Oh, me too.
But anyway, I just thought it was interesting and I probably should investigate more. I don't know why they chose to do it.
She's somehow personally invested in this.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
I can almost guarantee that Jimmy Fallon has no greater purpose than fucking clicks in doing this. He wants people to watch his show and watch his YouTube shit. Sure.
And how much joy he gets out of pop culture. I mean, that very good shit he does.
We love this. Oh, my God.
The Gibb Brothers.
So funny.
So funny.
Well, him and his band redo songs with the children's instruments. Yeah. And I think that's fantastic, too.
He's just a pop culture savant. Like, there is no reason to,
there's no greater purpose here.
But if you're listening and you've not seen it, Google, look up the Paul Rudd, Jimmy Fallon remake of You Spin Me Round Like a Record.
I had to take their word for it.
But the imitation is really good, too. I think making fun of it would have been if the costume wasn't good and he couldn't dance right. I mean, he's got everything dead. It's like a real tribute.
Just little hand gestures he does, and he's on it.
The eye roll. Now, that's minutia, but that's how good that is.
The Glee Vogue by Madonna, where they get that, like, shot for shot, and, like, they have the fan right, or sometimes on that lip-sync battle. There's that one lip-sync battle.
Oh, some of them are so good. Joseph
Gordon-Levitt
does Rhythm Nation.
He probably doesn't want to go meet the president later.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
That is so good. That's one of the best ones.
Yeah, one of the best ones. Mm-hmm. Like him as Janet Jackson. But again, maybe you don't want to meet, you know.
He's got the whole thing. I've got it.
We have to talk about the induction.
That was yours.
Did you watch it?
I have not watched it yet because it aired while I did not have HBO.
It's 3 solid hours long and every minute of it is good. Yeah. It's so good. So the only reason I was really into it, it's the only induction in history that I can remember ever where I like the music of every single one of them.
You know what that means?
That's never happened. Then I'm old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
When your favorite music's orange. Getting into the Hall of Fame.
And I don't know. Yeah. The way they induct, I mean, it can be different people in different eras, but this was all white residents. I cried for 3 hours while I was watching it. Because it was all like people that, like from 1983, you know, when they
but
all had
the
hits
zombies,
at the same time.
I'm saying of the
formative music that I loved, like Stevie Nicks, The Cure, and Janet Jackson all had hits in 1983, like all at the same time. So I was getting like emotional overload from this experience. Aww. But I love the zombies too.
Yeah.
But just and Def Leppard and the Cure, like all of them in the same like era was like early and 80s overload.
Speaking
for me.
Of Def Leppard, there was something online and I didn't realize this. They're a European band or Canadian?
They're not
English. Aren't they German?
Or something.
They were German.
I always assumed that Def Leppard was an American fucking white boy band.
No, and they were so good. And they leave them for the end.
They were embraced by the white boys.
Because I didn't know who was going to be the end, but they did that. So it's so good. Stevie Nicks started off. And she did. The only thing that was a little odd is Harry Styles inducted her. And he was doing. I mean, evidently they're friends. I don't know how that happened. So he did the induction. And then he did Tom Petty's part for Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
Mm.
But which he did.
Tom Petty's kind of dead.
Really good, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Don Henley came out for Leather and Lace. That was beautiful. She started it. She was on for a while. Then later, Trent Reznor inducted The Cure. And they were great. And you know all the profiles, all that history, it's all so well done.
And from what
really
I heard,
good.
They sounded fantastic.
I think The Cure and Def Leppard sounded the most. Like, age hadn't compromise the sound at all.
Right,
they sounded
right.
really good. But
I don't enjoy Def Leppard at all, but I love that guy's
voice. Oh my
god,
I love their music. I've always loved Def Leppard. And so it was so good. But the guy, the lead, Robert Smith.
You just don't strike me as a Def Leppard.
No, I love AC/DC, Def Leppard. So Al can back me on this. Well, maybe not, because you
don't
like them.
You. I just, you don't strike
Def
me
Def Leppard's
as...
music is, their songs are actually very well written. They have really good arrangements. And there was this conspiracy theory for years that they had not written them. And that it was somebody really famous, but like Elton John
or
someone.
Oh, like a pseudonym.
Yes, that had been writing all their music. And they later said that's not true. But anyway, their music is a lot better than people, I think, give them credit for. But anyway, Robert Smith, it was a little bit of shade. Then he was like, I'm just kidding. So they were going to do, I think they were going to do like one more song, but there wasn't time. And he was like, fucking Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
And she did like four. And so, and then here's some weird things in trivia that I didn't know. So Stevie Nicks induction, it was really good. And she and Janet both did the Cat, You'll Like This. They did the women thing. They said, there's only two of us are being inducted tonight. Mm-hmm. 2020, you need to induct more women. So it was a go girl kind of. Girl power thing, which was really good.
Turns out there's
good.
More women in the world. Yeah. Why aren't there more women
and
in everything?
And even Janet Jackson, right? I didn't. Her last thing that she said, she was like, same thing. She was like, the very last thing she said, she goes, you need to induct more women.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Rolling Stone magazine have two of the most whitewashed, horrible track records on anything that isn't Aretha. The only woman that Rolling Stone even acknowledges exists is Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
Other than her, there are no other women. Like, in their 500 greatest albums of all time, like, the only one in the top 100 is Aretha Franklin. It's like, no, there's great albums by women. Yeah.
Carole King.
It. Yeah.
You're right.
So, Tapestry comes in at, like, 175 or something crazy.
So, Roxy Music, another favorite of mine. And they did Avalon, which is my favorite song. That was fantastic. So, Roxy Music was great. Janet Jackson did not perform. And I love the review on Vulture. I always read Vulture for the reviews. And they were doing they did highs, lows, oohs, and ahs for the night before. And they said, and Janet Jackson did not perform. And no one cared.
Yeah.
And it's true. She was very gracious, but they said the big scandal was because it was being played on HBO. HBO ran the documentary.
You have to perform live. You have to perform live, and you have to perform as part of the lineup. And there are a lot of people that are more a product of a studio that it won't translate as well. So there's a lot of people that just choose not to
perform. Oh, no. She said, I'm not doing it because you ran that hit piece on my brother.
But she also has that on her side. Because
she was like, that was a whole pre-done thing.
I don't think Madonna performed, and it was one of the things about Donna Summer getting inducted, was she wanted to be on stage with the bands and prove her chops as to, like...
Vulture talked about it. They said, you know, you don't have to perform. You can also have someone else perform for you. Yeah, that's what dead people do.
And very often people just don't.
But hers is very calculated.
Yeah.
But she said she would accept. But she was very gracious. I liked her. I thought and it was fine that she didn't perform. Everyone was okay with it. She said something, but I always do this. And people the next day were like criticizing her for this. She has always been a big Paula Abdul fan because Paula Abdul did it. And so in her speech, and they were saying it was like false modesty, but it wasn't. She said, I really never thought I was a very good dancer or like the greatest dancer. She said, but I really love the way that dancing made me feel. And everyone was like, oh, Janet, like she was being a bitch, but like, you know. Saying
that
she's
humble
not.
Brag.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. But
not just that, but if you.
But I've actually heard her say this before because I've followed her career. She said, and then the very next thing she said, I really want to thank all the choreographers, especially Paula Abdul. They're the reason why those things were so great. Not because
of
me.
Choreographed her first album.
Yeah. I know.
And was in the video.
Right. In the video.
And I guess I am old because I remember this when that all came out. So she was only reinforcing something she said her whole fucking life. So.
Yeah.
So
and if
could we just stop criticizing Janet Jackson for saying something nice?
But I mean, that's one of those things like somebody's just too young to realize like Paula Abdul was her brother's choreography.
Yeah.
She did the Victory Tour and then she went from the Victory Tour to the sister.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, this lady's really good. You want to work with her? And then Janet Jackson told her, as she was like lip syncing the songs, because you can't lip sync, you actually have to sing, or it looks funny. She was like, "You should sing." So I mean, if Paula Abdul ever gets it'll be her turning around saying,
"Thanks, Janet."
You know, you should try to sing.
Yeah,
that career just that's just stupid. That's what I hate when someone just says something.
I know.
Just do a little bit of research.
I know. That's the thank you. Took the words right out of my mouth. I was like,
"How would you not thank your first choreographer?"
That? I know. And it was really heartfelt. Like, it was so sincere. So, anyway, I thought it was charming.
Yeah.
She didn't have to perform. We've all seen her perform. Good.
Right. Yeah,
that's great. Roxy Music, great. Radiohead really was great. And then, you know, Def Leppard did the whole exactly what they would do. It was really good. And I thought of you because Paul Schaefer, who's everywhere, right there in the audience.
Of course he was.
He wasn't on stage? Most of the time he's on stage for that.
And then Susanna Hoff was there. 60 years old, looking great. And they did. They don't always do it, but they do when they do the super band at the end and they all come out. Mm-hmm. She came out. The zombies. It was really cool.
And like, Paul Schaefer wasn't part of that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, see.
They cut to him a lot, though.
Because you're probably wondering, like, shouldn't he be on stage?
Paul!
He's played keyboards for many ceremonies.
So I can't wait for you to see it.
Yeah.
There's not one down moment. There's no horrible gasp moment either.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, when they get old, I notice that thing now. No one does the high note.
Oh, no.
Even Stevie Nicks on, was it Edge of 17? There's somewhere where she's supposed to do the thing, and you know who does it? The
backup singer.
They did it. She's like, I'm not fucking with that.
Elton John stopped singing the high notes in his songs like 30 years ago.
Stevie Nicks is just Stevie Nicks. She just entered her own world, and I'm just fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows who she is and gave a very feminist speech. When she did the thing at the end, it was really, really good. So
been in a musical war with everyone she knows for 40 years,
and
God
did
bless
not
her.
And did not back down. And then she said, "Women coming up." She said, "I had to knock the men out of the way, and so I'm going to give you the directions." And then she said later, she goes, "Because they were like, how?" And she's like, "Because I'm going to keep doing a lot of interviews, and I'll explain how all the women need to do it." And then I didn't know this. Maybe you did. Sheryl Crow is her manager. That is really, I thought, kind of odd.
Cool. I saw Sheryl Crow in the airport.
Was her career so bad that now she had to be? I mean, not that that's a bad gig. But
Sheryl Crow's our current manager?
Yeah, she said, I want to thank Sheryl Crow for, or maybe she was in the past. I don't know, maybe I missed that part. She said something about, I want to thank Sheryl for being my manager. I know I'm not an easy person to manage. I don't know if she's speaking past tense, or I think she means right now.
Maybe there's another Sheryl Crow in the picture?
No, she was sitting there at the table with her. So we need to Google that one.
Because Sheryl Crow,
we're Googling it right now.
Sheryl Crow used to be a backup singer on all kinds of shit. She's a backup singer in Black or White for Michael Jackson.
I thought it was great, and
I watched it.
It'll bring back. You'll have the whole '80s rush watching it all over again.
I watched because, and I got burned a couple years ago. I watched I love
and they did Dead People really well too.
Steve Miller. and Steve Miller, because they don't always know who's inducting them.
Yeah.
They don't have a say in that very often. And whoever inducted Steve Miller were very big fans of him. It was a very generous, very heartfelt introduction. And he was like, who the fuck are these guys?
Yeah.
Like, who are these clowns and why are they talking about me? And was just a douche mm-hmm. for the entire ceremony. And I'm like, I love you. Oh. Why are you a dick?
Oh.
Because some people are.
Yeah. Turns out Steve Miller, big douche.
Well,
son of a bitch.
Do you have information you would like to share, or can we go to the wheel?
I would like to share that there are 3.5 women on the Rolling Stone Top 50. Mm-hmm. I know.
3.5 is,
well,
Pete Burns
Fleetwood
one
Mac.
Of them?
No, Stevie Nicks is on there with Fleetwood Mac. Half.
Because you're going to give it to Christy McVie, too.
Right. Well, then you've got Patti Smith, mm-hmm. Joni Mitchell, mm-hmm. and Carole King.
Yes.
Yay for and Carole Aretha. King.
Not on the top 50.
Top 50 what?
Rolling Stone's top 500 albums. I went from 50 to 1.
Of the top 50.
Got it. I didn't have time to go through 500 albums.
Okay.
I had time to go through 50. I found 3.5.
Okay.
Out of 50.
That's better than I would have thought.
Yeah. But still awful.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's terrible.
Not good.
And they have a hard-on for Patti Smith, who's another, like, mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she
right.
changed all of music.
Joni Mitchell, definitely.
Joni Mitchell,
yeah.
Definitely.
Carole King, definitely.
Definitely.
Patti Smith, yeah. All right. Anyway, that's all.
All right, moving on. Here's the wheel.
Those
Let's see what we can
My
come up
with. My favorite sound effect is right now.
Tick, 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 tick.
What is the topic? Stop shooting people.
Oh.
Okay. So for headlines today, and I decided not to do it because I decided to do funnier shit. But I came across an article about a woman who developed a whole product and is selling a product to try and help keep black men from being shot in their car by police.
Is it the wallet thingy? Wow.
It's the wallet thingy. It's called Not Reaching.
It's ridiculous.
It is a clear plastic wallet that attaches to the air vent close to the window so that you don't have to be reaching in your car. You know what else we could do to solve this problem?
Yeah.
Stop shooting people.
Stop mm-hmm. shooting unarmed people.
Good Lord. Like, I'm reading through the article and she's like, oh, well, you know, I saw this. She saw...
it's a good intention on her part, though.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I get it. Jackie Carter from Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Jackie.
Was doing a great thing, but she saw Castillo. What was his first name? Philando Castillo. You know, saw the story about him, and she said, oh, my God, somebody has to do something. What can we do?
Well, and that movie that was out last year, The Hate U Give, was about the teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the guy was doing. He was reaching for a brush to brush his hair. You know? Just horrible stories like this.
You know what we could do? Stop shooting people.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be okay.
Use of force would be great if it...
We have lots of technology in the world. We can't find another way to bring bad guys down other than shooting them.
I know.
All right. It's next horrible. Topic on the
Stupid.
Wheel is... Well.
Wow.
I'm not sure, but I guess there's a story behind this.
Since we started the wheel, you always seem to have something in your pocket. What do you got in your pocket today? Well, how are you doing, Doug? What's going on?
I'm so confused.
What are you thinking about?
You mean,
I don't
like,
know.
He's got an itch to scratch. Like right. something
anything
he wants
you
to
want
to
yell about? Anything that we didn't talk about yet? That no. anything on your mind?
No.
Good. This segment went exactly as
planned. Wow. Okay. Well, I wasn't ready for that. I hope there's not a Clayton. How you
Clayton,
doing?
How yeah. No, because every time there's been kind of a grab bag.
I have something.
Yeah,
on
and you've
mind.
Had something.
Yeah. No, I'm just too exhausted. Probably.
Fair enough. No, that's fine.
Gentleman Jack.
Just as planned. So this new series on HBO.
Oh.
Pay your HBO bill.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
This has all the elements to suck me right in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a...
Actress's name, please, because I haven't had time to Google her.
Oh, I don't remember.
Do it. I got it.
You Google it.
You talk, I'll Google.
So it's a pre-industrial revolution British period piece. Right, so,
I'm
so
in
it's,
already.
It's very right.
Mm-hmm.
It's very. I can't even think of the book.
It's not about Jack the
God
Ripper,
it.
Is it?
No, it's not about Jack the Ripper. So it's about a woman who's a lesbian in this time period, and she's a landowner. So she's inherited her land. So she's the landlord. And a very like unique story because women didn't own things. Women didn't. Like the first episode, she's the landlord and she's been abroad with her lover.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got found out and her lover got married and whatever. Spoiler alerts. Mm-hmm. And so she's come home to like, you know, lick her wounds and decide what she's doing next. And she finds out that the people that are running her estate are, you know, the guy that was collecting the rent. He's got all kinds of shit happening, like his leg's about to fall off. Like things are in disarray in the estate. And so she comes home and she's, well, somebody has to collect the rent. I'll do it. And her sister's like, that's a man's job. Why would you do that?
Right.
Very Pride and Prejudice. That's what I was going
on. That's it. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah. So she just shows up and is like, well, I'm the landlord. I suppose I'll have to go collect the rents, and just goes about her business in a very mass, like a woman doing
men's
things. Very
wow.
Pre-industrial revolution. And I'm sold. It may not even be very good, but I'm going to watch every episode.
And wow. I do not know this actress, Anne Lister. Oh, the character's name, her name is Suzanne Jones. Saran Jones. My glasses are here, but I'm not putting them on.
You're doing a great job.
I am not familiar with her, but she looks so familiar in the ads. And oh my God, are they pushing that hard during Game of Thrones?
Are they?
Yeah, that is getting all kinds of commercials. Like they want that to take off. They're putting their money behind that.
I don't watch anything live, so. I don't know.
See what's coming in June?
No.
Big Little Lies.
Oh yes. Meryl Streep back and
Streep.
They're hitting that hard too. The commercial, because you can tell HBO because they have Veep, Barry, and that going. They've got all their award winners going. So when those ads start, it is just those Chernobyl that mm-hmm. miniseries that's coming up looks terrific. Like you can tell where HBO's money's going.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
Can't have dragons and dogs in the same scene. That's not possible.
Too expensive.
Yep, too expensive.
Every
joke online about that this week cracks me up. Oh, the dog was in it for a second, but ran away when the dragons came. Don't know what to do.
Okay, next topic.
Wheel. See what we got. I want people to watch the show so it stays around. The end. Where did I even put on here?
Wild dudes be like. What is this? I can't read it. It's too small.
White dudes be like, well, but what about us?
Listen. Okay. Oh no.
Listen.
I don't know. Is my blood pressure going to go up?
As three white dudes sitting in this room.
Does this one have a specific name that posted something? Yeah. Okay.
Well, I posted something and then somebody was like, oh, well, what about us? Motherfuckers.
Well, yeah.
I know. You had some time. It is like, it's a researchable, definable fact that our world and our society has been built by and for men
for 10,000 years.
Cars mm-hmm. are most efficient and most safe for men.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I have a good one to add.
You can add anything you want. There's a lot of examples. Cars is the one that's stuck in my brain.
You know why you can add it? Because you're a white man.
But
I bet you haven't heard it. That's how this works.
But white cars.
I probably haven't.
Go ahead.
Yeah, please.
So there's all a microphone the in front years that we have been studying, I just know if you have like a time frame of your list of things.
No, you know,
I don't
rehearse these rants. Okay. They just come off the top of my head.
This blew my mind that all the time that we have been doing research for pharmaceuticals, like Ambien, they research it on men's bodies. Men. So you might know this from in the nursing world. So for the first like couple of years, women were ODing, not ODing, but you know what I mean. Like this
pill.
Yeah, they were over medicated because nobody even fucking bothered to think about that. And women were getting too much medicine because they were basing it on men's bodies. Like that is some serious. That is fucked up.
There are very serious things.
Super fucked up.
And all of it designed for men.
Men. Yep.
That men pattern baldness and erectile dysfunction comes higher than breast cancer mm-hmm. on most research
and
trials.
Is covered by insurance, but birth control's not.
Right. So I do like every once in a while. I don't put a lot of shit on social media, and I don't get into a lot of conversation on social media anymore.
You don't.
I don't care. I don't want to. I don't care.
Yeah.
Fine. Every once in a while, something just kind of strikes me, and I throw it out there. And my favorite thing is when it is something gendered. Because you know what happens to me? An avalanche of men come to tell me why I'm wrong.
Of course they do. They're mansplaining.
Joe Biden decided
to
run for president. Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. Oh, good for Joe.
Wonderful.
Fantastic. Yeah. And so I said, oh, good. Another old white man
good.
To come overshadow the... And I said, smarter, more qualified women. Smarter, more qualified women.
Oh, I knew Buddy would say
Elizabeth,
something about
that, too. Elizabeth motherfucking Warren got the syllabus for the semester, did all of the reading and all of the homework before the first class.
Exactly.
She has a plan a day. This bitch is putting out well thought out, completed plans.
And every always has.
Single day.
Yeah. She has policy.
She's more prepared. She's more qualified at this point.
And
she's
Joe Biden gave a rambling speech that was representative of 1994.
Joe Biden, a month ago, was being accused of sniffing hair.
Yeah.
The fuck do I care about him? And why do I need... guys, I love you. I love you very, very much. But I don't need an avalanche of men to come and tell me why I'm wrong all the time.
I hear you.
When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But a pity little thing like that, I don't need a bunch of guys to be like, yeah, but guys matter too. No, you fucking don't.
Right. Well, no, the response is guys have always mattered, and they've mattered more.
Well, that so now pendulum, I'm sure, swung the other way.
When anybody tries to correct any level of privilege, the people on the other end always feel something's being taken away from them,
away
but
from
it's
you.
Not.
I promise.
Yeah, you're not having anything taken away.
Well, it's like
you're not being challenged.
Of, you know, somebody else getting rights does not take away your rights.
Thank you.
Like,
that's exactly right.
You know, water
just because they
all
can
ships.
Vote doesn't mean you're going to vote less.
Yeah. That's or less often.
It became very, very important to call it marriage equality.
No, I was so and people got so mad at me about it because they're like, "Well, gay marriage." I'm like, "Marriage equality." And these are gay people. I'm like, "Marriage equality."
Yeah,
but
that's one of those. That's one of those ones where
marriages aren't gay or they're just marriage.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
One of the things that has to go the way of other stuff is gay bars too. They're unfortunately,
and they have to evolve. Like they absolutely
one of those
do.
That has
you know
to
what?
Evolve.
Yeah.
Come to Cobalt on a Saturday night and tell me if you think it's a gay bar.
Right, right.
That's happening at Stacey's.
You know what I mean?
They're just bars
because it's a great karaoke bar. It's a lot of fun. We're gay owned and operated. You know what I mean? Like we're actually only at about 70% gay staff now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
it's changing. But
it's changing
that's
and it's
organic
an okay thing.
At least.
Right.
Yeah. It's an organic
it's an okay
change.
Thing. It's
because it becomes
thing.
A neighborhood bar which becomes open to everyone.
And we're still involved and contribute to the gay community. Like we still do all the fundraising and all the bullshit.
It's a fantastic
that we've always done.
Model or way to be.
Yeah, but it's okay for things to change.
Absolutely.
Super okay. Inclusion.
Absolutely.
Inclusion works both ways.
It's also okay for those who don't want it to change to have their opinions about why it shouldn't change.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But
Sure, but you're all gonna end up in the one bar.
Yeah.
Well, that seems to work out pretty well for me.
Is that it? There's no more on the wheel?
No, we're done with the wheel. We only do like four topics.
Oh, do one more.
No.
I didn't even look at the wheel. What if I wanted to talk about something on the wheel?
You'll save it for next week.
Okay.
We're wrapping this up.
Fair enough.
Stick a fork in the pig, kids. I got a Rachel Maddow to watch.
Oh, I was listening to her on the way in. She said something airy fairy, and then she said, "No offense to the airy fairies."
Oh,
I was so excited that she was like sensitive to the feelings of the airy and the fairy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm curious to see what
now
this is all about.
Now I want to see what it is.
Yeah.
It was from last night's show. I don't remember what she was talking about.
I still
about.
Have it.
I haven't watched last night's show either.
Such as I fall.
But
behind.
As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will see you next Tuesday. If you're lucky.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.